Today on Brave with Pastor Jeff Schwarzentraub.
And if you get these three down, if you understand that God's powerful and that he's present and that he's patient and you're walking with him, then it gives me the fourth reason that you should trust the gospel completely. It's my favorite, because the gospel causes us to erupt in worship because God is preeminent. If you truly know the gospel, you will worship the Lord.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Today, Pastor Jeff continues the brand new series we started this week called The Kingdom Embassy, taking us through the book of 1 Timothy. He's laying out four vital reasons for why believers from every walk of life need to trust the gospel, and showing that no matter where you are in your faith or what you think you believe, the gospel of Jesus Christ is completely life-changing. We're establishing a faith that moves us forward as we begin the final segment of a three-part message titled, Trust the Gospel. Now, let's open our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, where Pastor Jeff will begin our new message, taking a look at the words of Paul.
And as we read through this, then we're going to highlight four reasons why you need to trust the gospel. Listen to what he says. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. And as Paul ends this in a worship, we learn why it is that we can trust the gospel. Now, let me give you four reasons why you need to trust the gospel of Jesus Christ that come right out of the text this morning. The first reason is this. The gospel completely transforms our lives because God is powerful. The gospel completely transforms our lives because God is powerful. In order to be saved, it takes the power of God. In case you were thinking, well, it didn't take that for me. I just kind of always believed. You're wrong. You're dead wrong. You were born dead in your trespasses and sins, and it would only be the power of God that could set you free. But the first reason to trust the gospel is he completely transforms lives because our God is powerful. Second, I'll give you this reason you need to trust the gospel, because the gospel continues to lavish us in abundance because God is present. He's present. The gospel continues to lavish us in abundance. Notice what the apostle says. He says, he gets done talking about being a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. Yet, I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. What's he saying? The gospel is Christ in me, the hope of glory, his presence right now. And most of us don't realize that God is with you right now if you're a believer. He's like right now in your life. You say, well, no, he's not. Our Father who art in heaven. And Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the throne of God. Agree. Great job. Where's the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit's inside of every single person who believes. And everywhere you go, there God is. Amen? And sometimes we're looking for where God is when he's already in us, wanting to come out of us. Because God, as I say often, didn't come in just to be resident. He came in to be president. He came to take over your life. And the beauty of God's mercy and grace in your life is that God wants to take over. Let me give you a third reason why we need to trust the gospel. Because the gospel compels us to be an example because God is patient. The gospel compels us to be an example. 2 Corinthians 5 says, for the love of Christ compels us or controls us to be an example. Notice what Paul says here at the end of verse 14. He talks about this faith and love which are found in Jesus. You really can't get faith and you can't get love anywhere else in the world. I mean, where else are you going to get it? You say, well, Jeff, I know non-Christians that love. I'm like, no, not by Jesus' definition, they don't. The only way you can forgive somebody that doesn't deserve to be forgiven is if you have the love of Christ. And the only way you can have faith in your life is if you have Christ dwelling on the inside, because he's the one that's going to prompt you to take a step of faith. Any other step of faith is really not going to be a step of faith, because it's going to be us choosing what we're going to do for God, not God choosing what he wants us to do. Amen? And here's what we see with Paul. He compels us to be an example. Now, I love this in verse 15. Very popular verse in Romans, or I'm sorry, in 1 Timothy 1:15. He says, it's a trustworthy statement. Now, let me tell you something about the Bible. From Genesis 1 through Revelation 22, it's all a trustworthy statement. The Holy Spirit penned it. The Holy Spirit wrote it. There's not one jot or tittle that'll ever be taken away. So when you read in the Bible, truly, truly, I say to you, or this is a trustworthy statement, it means this is all true, but pay special attention to this one. And Paul says, it is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came in the world to save whom? Say it out loud with me. Sinners. Of whom I am foremost of all. Who did Jesus come for? Sinners. That's it. That's the only group of people he came for. It's the only group of people he came for. The only group he came for are sinners. Now, I have really good news for you. Every one of you qualify in that category. And you all have a resume to prove it. So who did Jesus come for? He came for you. He came specifically for your sin. And Paul says it's a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. That's who he came for. And everyone in the world needs to be delivered of their sin by Jesus Christ. Going to church is not enough. Being in a small group, not enough. Giving money, not enough. God's not looking for your good acts. Your good acts don't bring you closer to God. God is looking for you to recognize that Jesus Christ took all your sin and died on a cross in your place for you. And you can take that to the bank for all eternity. Amen? That's the good news of the gospel. And that's what we're seeing here in this text. I mean, even as Paul starts writing about himself, when he writes to the Corinthians and he writes to the Ephesians, I mean, listen to how Paul talks about himself. Paul doesn't have a high opinion of himself. He has a very high opinion of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 15:9, he says, "For I am the least of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." And in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8, he has a similar tone. He said, "To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ." Paul's been saying, of all sinners, of whom I'm foremost. Now, I want you to think about this in your mind's eye and don't blurt it out. Who's the biggest sinner you know? Don't say anything. Just who is he? Who is she? Think about the biggest sinner you know in our world right now. I mean, who are they? Think about it. If you're not thinking about yourself, you have the wrong person in your mind. You really do. Because if you can talk about someone else's sin in a body you don't even live in, but you can't even talk about your own, you don't understand the gospel of grace. The gospel of grace will show you all that Christ has died for. When I came to know Christ at 18, I knew some of the behaviors that Christ had saved me from, and I knew some of the things that he'd forgiven. But as I've grown in my faith over the last 30 years, God has shown me the depravity of my own heart to a depth that I realized that, man, he had to go pretty deep to save someone like me. When Paul's talking about being foremost, certainly he was persecuting the church. Certainly at the time the church was starting to expand, he was saying, I'm the guy that was trying to stop all of it and all that. But I also think it goes deeper than that. I also think Paul had a great awareness of the sin for which Jesus Christ died for in his own life personally. Do you have that? Have you ever spent time before the Lord's throne saying, Lord, hey, show me anything in my life I might not be aware of that you've saved me of? I've had those encounters with the Lord where he reveals more and more and more and more that he had to save me from. Right? And what Paul was saying was this: hey, Timothy, you don't need to be afraid in your church to lead, because if God can save me, he can save anybody. You don't need to be afraid of your elders. You don't need to be afraid of the church. You don't need to be afraid of anybody else. You don't need to be afraid of these people that will never come to Christ. Just trust the gospel. God will do all the work, Timothy. Don't live in fear. God will do this. Right? He's saying, Timothy, if God could save me, he can save anybody in your congregation. I'll tell you, as your pastor, I know me. My sisters happen to be in this service. I see them. If God can save me, he can save anybody. I'm surprised I didn't hear my sister say amen, but he can. I mean, I know me. And in this day of church where I hear these words, I don't even know what they mean, like celebrity pastor, like what the heck is that? If we ever lose sight of everything that God has saved us from, we've lost everything. The power in the gospel is Jesus Christ, not anybody else. There are no celebrities. There's no good characters in the Bible other than Jesus. It's Jesus. It's him first and foremost. It means this: if God can save Paul, if God can save me, he can save anybody. We've seen it in our church. God saves alcoholics. God saves drug users. God saves sex offenders. God saves prideful religious people that think they're already saved. But even as you look out in the world, you're like, oh, that's BLM. Oh, that's Antifa. Oh, look at those terrorists over there. God can save all of them if you won't give into a spirit of fear and just proclaim the gospel. And what would it do in the world if some of the people that you're frustrated with actually were born again? Think of some of the people you know in the political realm that instead of yelling at them and telling them how bad they are, you prayed for them and we prayed God would get an opportunity to save them. What if three or four of those actually got born again and said, I was living this way, but now I'm doing everything under my administration to live for Jesus Christ? Would that change things? See, I think the gospel has power. I think the gospel is present. I think Christ is with us, and I think God is so patient. God is patient with everyone, not wanting anyone to perish, but wanting all to come to know him. You say, well, how patient is he? Take some of your own personal inventory. How patient is he with you? I mean, to the extent you're not perfect, how patient is he with you? I mean, how many times do you have to go before the Lord and say, I did it again? Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, help me. I mean, how patient is he with us? He's so patient. He's so long-suffering that he uses us as his examples so that we'll be long-suffering as well. And see, the reality is we need to know that we're Christ's examples, that we truly understand that we've been born again from the dead into life with Christ. Because it's only religious people that have categories for sin. Did you know that? Well, there's some people that are not that bad. They probably need Jesus a little bit. And then there's these people here, they're a little bit worse and they definitely need Jesus, but they're pretty good people in the world. And then there's these people here, and they're not very good people. And then there's these people here and they're bad. And then there's people here that are awful. And there's people here that they're beyond help. Only religious people would talk like that. Here's how God would look down and say, I created every one of them and I love each one of them and I'm able to save anyone to the full. Will you pray for them? And as you have opportunity, will you share the gospel with them? Because the power in the gospel can save their lives. Amen? That's the church. You can trust the gospel. Politics will change. Opinions will change. School systems will change. Everything's going to change. The one thing that will never change is that Jesus Christ is Lord of all to the glory of God the Father. Amen? So Paul says, yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Why did God pick you? Why is God asking you to serve? Because he's showing what an imperfect person looks like that's working to let Christ be center in their life, so that when the world looks on at every man, woman, boy, and girl that knows Christ, they would say, okay, that's what it looks like to be a believer. Okay, that's what it means to serve like Christ serves. That's why God is always in our lives wanting to do more and more with us and take more and more over so that more people can see the living Christ in our lives. And friends, I want to tell you on the authority of God's word, you'll never be fully put together until you meet Jesus. He's the one who saves you. He's the one who sanctifies you. He's the one who is going to present you faultless with exceedingly great joy before the Father to the glory and praise of God. He's the one that does all the work. So again, this is not about navel gazing and what are the five things I need to work on to be a better Christian? No, no, no. This is how do I submit my life to the authority of Christ so he can do a better work in me? It'll never be done until you meet Jesus. Kim and I had a chance to be out at the Billy Graham Library some years ago in Charlotte, and we went not knowing what it was gonna be, and we just didn't have anything else to do in Charlotte, to be honest, so we went to the Billy Graham Museum. And it was really cool, and we had a great time, and we toured, and at the end, we got to see Ruth Graham's grave. And she's buried there. I'm sure Billy Graham is now buried there as well. It was before he had passed away. But on her tombstone, it said this: end of construction, thanks for the patience. That's what our life will look like. Again, the gospel is not a message that you try to be perfect. The gospel message is that Christ is already perfected in you and that we're trying to live out what Christ has already worked in our lives. We're trying to work it out of our lives. But all of us are under construction, amen? All of us are depending upon the Lord, amen? All of us are trying to submit our lives greater to the Lord. That's what it looks like to be a believer in Jesus Christ. And if you get these three down, if you understand that God's powerful and that he's present and that he's patient and you're walking with him, then it gives me the fourth reason that you should trust the gospel completely. It's my favorite. Because the gospel causes us to erupt in worship because God is preeminent. If you truly know the gospel, you will worship the Lord. That's the evidence of knowing Christ, is that you want to worship Christ. because he's preeminent. That means he's the sovereign. That means he's the ruler over all. That means there is no other. And that's exactly where the apostle through the Holy Spirit goes here. He goes, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I mean, you want to unpack that for a minute? I mean, the end game of the gospel is worship. The end game of sharing the gospel, the end game of evangelism is worship. Means when you go out and share the gospel with somebody and you ask this question, somebody asks you, did they get saved? I don't know, maybe, maybe not. Here's how you'll know. Do they love to worship Jesus? Well, no, they don't like that. Then they're not saved. I mean, it's that simple. I'm not saying that they know how to sing Christian songs. I'm not saying they know how to raise their hands. I'm not saying they know all about spiritual gifts. I'm saying if there's no hunger and desire for Jesus, then Jesus didn't save them. Because if you were dead, and the reason you were made alive is because God came in on the inside, and the Holy Spirit's desire is to worship and bring worship from you to the Son, and you don't have any desire to do that, let me tell you who's not in your life. The Holy Spirit. That's the truth. Those who know Jesus love to worship Jesus. Now to the King. He's the King. That means there are no other kings. He's the only God. That means there are no other gods. I mean, worship is exclusive. There are no other gods. Well, Pastor Jeff, I think there's a lot of ways, and that's your way because you're a Christian. You're wrong. God has one way, and this is his way, and anybody that doesn't believe that way will one day know that because they will be hearing these words, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. That's according to the word of God. And those who have trusted Jesus will say, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into the rest. If someone's saved, they'll worship. If someone's not saved, they won't worship. The King, Jesus is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. There is no other. He's eternal. Means he's always existed. There was never a time where Jesus Christ did not exist. In eternity past, he existed, and he's always going to exist in the future. He's immortal. That means he's impervious to corruption and death. He's imperishable. He's incorruptible. There's nothing that can happen to him. He's not going away. So we give him honor. That's respect and reverence. We give him glory, which is praise, splendor, radiance, and brightness. How long do we do it? Forever and ever. That's always and forevermore. And what's amen mean? It means like, yes, yes, yes. I don't know how you do devotions. I don't know how you worship the Lord. I don't know what you do. It doesn't have to be singing. Oftentimes I use a hymnal. I grew up Methodist. I have a Methodist hymnal. I have a Lutheran hymnal. Oftentimes I'm going through hymns and I'm going through songs. This week I was going through my favorite Methodist hymn, which is And Can It Be? And the second verse said, long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound by sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I woke, rose, went forth, and followed thee. Love that. If you're saved, you have a story like that. You have one where God has grabbed your life and made him yours, made you his. You did not choose him, he chose you. He brought you to himself, and it should cause our heart to worship. It means that without Christ, you have no hope in this world. Even those of you that would say, I got a lot of hope. I mean, my bank account's looking pretty good. My job future's looking pretty good. I got tons of friends. Here's what I would say to you. What does it profit you to gain the entire world and forfeit your soul for all eternity? You ever thought about how long eternity is? It's eternal. I mean, count out the biggest number you can have, like trillions, billions. I don't even know the biggest. I mean, whatever day you would pick, I mean, eternity would just be getting started on that day. Eternal hell is just as long as eternal life. And you were heading for eternity apart from Christ, and God stepped in, saved you, forgave you, washed it all away, wrapped you in his arms, told you that you belong to him, that he loves you. He'll never ever let you go no matter what you do. He empowered you with his Holy Spirit. He walks with you in the present. He gives you power to accomplish his will. And all he does is continue to lavish you with grace. Every time you make a mistake, there's more grace to cover that. The more you sin, the more grace you get. I mean, and you get, when you die, you know you do not need to fear, because to be apart from the body is to be in the presence of Christ. The moment you breathe your last breath will be the most glorious moment you've ever experienced as a Christian. It means if you're a Christian, you could send back a telegram. Maybe you send it before you die because you won't be able to send it back. Say, don't cry for me. I'm way happier than you. People can lament death on this side of heaven because we miss people that are gone. But the people that are gone aren't missing you. Because they're with Jesus, the goal of their faith. Nobody's up in heaven looking down saying, I can't wait till they get here. They don't have time for you. They're with Jesus now. They're healed, they're whole, they're full, they're joyful. It's the goal of their faith. Amen? That's why we say thank you, Jesus, for the blood. That's why we say thank you, Jesus, for the cross. I mean, we can talk about a lot of things and we can have opinions on a lot of things in the church and we can have differing opinions. I think we've been very clear on that in this last year and a half. We have a Christian liberty to think differently and love each other deeply, don't we? But the one thing we can't have a difference of opinion on is the gospel. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. So here's my question for you. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? I'm not asking you, are you churchy? I'm not asking if you prayed a prayer. I'm not asking if you walked an aisle. I'm not asking if you felt a tingle go off in your heart. I'm asking, when did you individually turn from your sin and tell Jesus Christ, I want you to come in and be the Lord of my life and I want to live for you? When did that happen? Because if that hasn't happened, I'm telling you on the authority of God's word, that's the most urgent decision that you'll ever need to make. And I'm telling you, you need to make that decision right now in this very moment. Amen. And if you've made that decision, let me tell you on the authority of God's word, just how much he loves you. And even if you find yourself convicted today of some sin, he loves you. And he wants to grow you through that. And he would tell you this, hey, at the cross of Calvary, I already forgave it. And I knew you were going to be struggling with that. But why don't you come back to me and I'll help wash you clean again. Thank you, Jesus. That's who our God is. Amen. And amen. So if I'm just going to ask you to stand. And as we close in prayer, I'm going to ask you, if you've never invited Jesus in your life, why not make this very moment the time that you do it right now? So Lord, we give you praise, glory, and honor for who you are. And Lord, as we gather here in this place, wherever people are listening, here's what we're praying. If you've never trusted Jesus, if you don't have a relationship with God, make this moment your time by praying like this. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I'm separated from you. But I believe that you're God and that you died for all my sin. You took it all and rose from the dead. Lord Jesus, I want to turn from my sin. That's called repentance. And I want you to come into my life. That's called faith. I believe that you're God. Come in my life, live with me forever, and let me walk with you. Let me experience the depth of your love I never knew before. And for those who are gathered who know him, maybe this is the way you pray today. Lord Jesus, you are my God. Take over completely. Fill me afresh with your spirit and remind me of the great love with which you have for me. Let me sing this worship to you as a response to how grateful I am for all that you've done for me. For we give you glory and honor and praise, for you are our God, and we love you with our whole heart. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can we praise God today as we sing to him?
Amen. You're listening to Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub and the conclusion of a message titled, Trust the Gospel. If you joined us late or need to catch up on a previous program from our new series, The Kingdom Embassy, be sure to visit bravemedia.online. where you'll find all of Pastor Jeff's past sermons and many other faith-building resources and opportunities from Brave. And while you're online, you can connect with us on our social media pages. You'll find us on platforms like Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching for Brave Church Denver. Be sure to like and follow our pages for weekly posts of Bible verses, spiritual encouragement, and important updates on all things Brave. And if you want to take these messages with you while you're out and about, running errands, or heading to work, download the Brave Church app to your smartphone or mobile device. Our app will help you stay up to date with ministry news, fellowship events, and local service opportunities here at Brave Church. Just log into your favorite app store and search for Brave Church Denver to connect today. Now, before we close today's program, we invite you to be part of our weekend services in person here at Brave Church. If you're listening from anywhere in the Denver metro area, join us at our campus in Englewood or at the new venue for our Broomfield folks, now open in Westminster. To learn more, head over to our website, bravemedia.online, then scroll to the bottom of our homepage and click the button that says Brave Church to find all the details. If you have any other questions about our ministry or thoughts about today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us anytime, hello@bravechurch.co. That brings us to the end of today's program. So glad you've been with us. I'm your host, Bill Carl, wishing you a wonderful weekend and inviting you back for another bold, Bible-based message from Pastor Jeff next time, right here on Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub. Today's Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.